Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building an advanced Hoover stab in Ableton Live 12, but not just any rave-style Hoover. We're shaping one that actually works inside a rolling jungle or old-school D&B track. So the goal here is timeless momentum, not novelty chaos. We want something punchy, rhythmic, slightly rude, but still clean enough to sit with a breakbeat and a bass line without stepping on everything. Think of the Hoover as a rhythmic accent with attitude, not the main character. If it starts fighting your bass for emotional center stage, it's too much. In D&B, especially around 170 to 174 BPM, the sound has to read fast, decay quickly, and leave space for the drums to keep rolling. First, set up your workflow properly. Create a MIDI track and name it something like Hoover Stab. Drop an instrument rack on it right away. That may seem like a small move, but it's important, because it gives you macro control, saves you time later, and makes the patch reusable across future projects. If you already have drums and bass in the session, even better. Build the sound while listening in context. That's where the real decisions happen. Now load Waveitable and start from a clean patch. For the core sound, you want a dense, harmonically rich source, but not an overbuilt wall of detune. Start with a saw Waveitable on oscillator 1, and give it about 4 to 7 unison voices. Then add a second oscillator, maybe another saw or a pulse-style Waveitable, and detune it slightly against the first. Keep the fine detune subtle, somewhere around a few cents. The point is movement, not smear. This is where a lot of producers overcook it. They hear Hoover and immediately stack too much width, too much detune, too much everything. But in D&B, especially in a roller, the Hoover should feel wide in the mids, not bloated in the low end. It needs bite, not mass. If the source feels a little nasal or rough, that's good. We can shape that into character. Next, shape the amp envelope. This is where the stab starts behaving like a rhythm instrument instead of a lead synth. Bring the attack right down to almost nothing, then keep the decay fairly short. For a tight roller stab, you might stay around the low hundreds of milliseconds. For a more speaking, jungle-style stab, you can let it breathe a little longer. Sustain should stay low, and release should be short enough that the note doesn't smear into the next drum hit. The big idea here is that the Hoover needs to hit, then get out of the way. If it hangs on too long, it starts muddying the break, masking the snare body, and fighting the bass phrasing. If it's too short, it loses personality. So listen for that sweet spot where it feels percussive, but still has identity. Now let's give it that classic Hoover bite with filter movement. You can use the filter inside Waveitable or place an auto filter after it. A low-pass filter with some resonance is a solid starting point, or a band pass if you want a more classic, nasal stab character. The important part is the movement. Use a fast filter envelope so the attack opens up and then closes slightly, creating that little yip or bark at the start of the note. A good trick here is to keep the first hit darker, then automate the second hit brighter later in the phrase. You don't need to rewrite the MIDI every time. In Live 12, clip envelopes make this really easy. Use them to vary cutoff or macro movement per clip. That way, you can test different section ideas fast without building a giant automation lane just to audition a vibe. Now for the harmonic edge. A Hoover without grit can sound polite, and polite is not what we're after. Insert saturator and, if needed, drum bus. Use saturator to bring out the upper harmonics with just a few dB of drive, and turn on soft clip if the patch needs a little safety and density. Then use drum bus for a bit more punch and attitude, but don't go wild with the boom control. This sound lives in the mid-range. We're not trying to turn it into a sub-heavy effect. The key here is controlled aggression. If the patch feels too smooth, add character before you add layers. Often the fix is not more sound, it's more attitude. A little more drive, a little faster decay, a narrower resonance peak, or a tiny pitch movement at the note start can transform it from generic preset into something that feels alive. Now let's talk stereo. This is one of the biggest places people lose the groove. They make the Hoover huge across the whole spectrum, then wonder why the kick and bass suddenly feel small. Don't do that. Keep the low end and low mids under control. If there's any low mid energy hanging around, mono it or narrow it. Use utility to reduce width if needed, and use EQ8 to cut unnecessary low rumble. If you want width, put it where it helps. Let the upper mids and highs move a bit, but keep the center stable. A really good advanced move is to split the sound into bands with an audio effect rack. Keep the mid chain tight and centered, and let the side chain beat a little wider, dirtier, or more animated. That way the Hoover can feel big without wrecking the groove. Now we need to make it work musically. The patch alone is not the performance. The MIDI phrasing is what gives it roller momentum. Don't program it like a lead melody. Program it like a rhythmic answer. Think offbeats, pickups into the snare, short call and response figures, and occasional transition hits. A really classic placement is on the end of beat 2, or as a pickup into beat 1. That gives the phrase a forward pull. In a 2-bar loop, you might let the Hoover answer a snare or a bass phrase in bar 1, then come back slightly brighter or a little more accented in bar 2. That creates movement without needing a whole new melody. Velocity matters too. Use higher velocity on main hits so the filter and saturation respond more aggressively, then lower velocity on ghost notes or pickup stabs. If your rack is set up well, you can map velocity to cutoff, drive, decay, or width for more expression. That's a great way to make repeated hits feel human instead of robotic. And that human feel matters. One of the most convincing old-school tricks is imperfect timing. Nudge a few stabs just a touch early or late. Don't overdo it, but that slight human looseness can make the groove feel much more authentic. Perfect timing can sound stiff in this style. A little tension makes the thing breathe. Once the patch feels right, resample it. This is an advanced workflow move that saves time and opens up new options. Bounce the stab into audio, trim the transients tightly, and clean up the edges so it plays like a proper one-shot. Then you can reverse a few hits, chop the tail, or create alternate versions for fills and transitions. You can also load the resampled version into simpler and classic mode and turn it into a playable one-shot instrument. That's a great way to get multiple articulations from one core sound without rebuilding the synth each time. In DNB, that kind of audio-first workflow is gold because it gives you micro-variation fast. From there, build contrast across the arrangement. Don't use one Hoover version for every section unless you're actively devolving it. Make at least two or three versions. One darker and drier for the roller sections, one brighter and slightly wider for drop emphasis, and one gritty, resampled transition version with a little reverse tail or extra crunch. Use the darker one in the intro or main groove. Bring in the brighter one for drop punctuation or tension moments. Save the washed or elongated version for breakdowns or switch-ups. And if you want more movement, automate the cutoff, drive, or width across 4 or 8-bar phrases. That kind of section-specific variation keeps the track alive. For space, use send and return effects instead of drowning the source in reverb. A short room, a plate, or a filtered delay on a send can create atmosphere while keeping the dry hit up front. If you want that dubby jungle tail, try echo on a send with filtered feedback, but keep the stab itself clear and immediate. A few extra advanced ideas are worth trying. You can layer a very quiet square or pulse underneath a Hoover to add throatiness. You can assign a tiny pitch bend range and automate micro dips at the start of selected notes for a classic rave-style yank. You can also try a two-stage Hoover approach. One chain for the transient and one for the tail, then blend them inside a rack for controlled aggression. Another useful move is to audition the Hoover with only the snare and bass. If it works there, it will probably survive the full mix. That test is huge. Full arrangements can hide problems that are obvious in a stripped-back context. If the stab is too wide, too long, or too harsh, you'll hear it much more clearly with just those core elements playing. So to recap the workflow, build a dense but controlled unison source, shape a fast amp envelope, add filter movement, introduce saturation and character, keep the stereo image disciplined, and then write the MIDI like a rhythmic accent rather than a lead. After that, resample, edit, and create variations for different sections of the track. And that's the real secret here. A timeless Hoover stab in DNB is not about beating the biggest sound in the room. It's about rhythm, control, and context. If it cuts through the breaks without muddying the bass, and if it helps the groove roll forward instead of sitting on top of it, you've nailed the brief. For your practice challenge, make 3 versions in 1 Ableton set. Build a tight roller stab, a brighter drop stab, and a gritty transition stab. Program a 2-bar phrase where the Hoover answers the snare and leaves room for the bass. Automate cutoff or drive across the second bar. Then compare all 3s against kick, snare, bass, and a busy breakbeat. Pick the one that still feels clear when the mix gets dense. Save it as an instrument rack with named macros, and you'll have a reusable old-school DNB weapon ready for the next track.